Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Christine Williams.
You're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, that twice-weekly podcast for people who stab cloth with needles and drag thread through it after that. Made that up just now. Just now I made that up.
Yes.
You could tell.
Well, you know, and I think it's because somebody who shall remain nameless was not very happy about the work makes me stabby. Co-workers make me stabby.
Yeah.
How that was a little violent.
Yeah, well, so, yeah.
I like how you toned that down a little bit.
Yeah, that lady, she gets worked up over those things, so.
Well, I understand.
Yeah, after.
Normally I would too, but, you know, I have those co-workers, so.
Yeah, after all these years, I'm used to it, you know. So we did hear from the designer of that stabby design, Stupid People Make Me Stabby. Her online name is is Sweary Stitcher. And I watched a couple of her videos.
Can I say I love her already?
Yeah.
Like, I think we're kindred spirits.
Yeah, the first one was, it was basically, if I can, you know, just summarize, I swear, if you can't deal with it, don't watch me. Yeah.
See, now I would stitch that, but it wouldn't be exactly those words.
Yes.
I have been accused of being a little sweary. I do work in a factory.
It'll happen. Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so she wrote to me, and, yeah, so as you were planning, she designed it for a coworker whose workplace was driving her crazy, and that coworker hung it in her office. She calls it microaggression, which
yes.
is, I'm liking that word, microaggression. Well, yeah.
That's a very trendy word right now. Yeah. That's the thing, microaggression.
Okay, well, there you have it. So,
you didn't know that.
Yeah, so I'll put a link on the page for this podcast, because she charted that thing, and you can download it. So anybody
Fantastic.
Can download it. No cost. She charted it. You can download the PDF or whatever it is and stitch it.
And see, now I think that's a public service.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is.
Right? Because that's like giving food to a food bank right there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's a mental health activity.
More power to her. I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Microaggression is my new word now. I did not know that word.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to be up on all the new lingo of bad things you can do. A microaggression is something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Working at home with my wife eliminates a lot of that. So I. Just,
I'm sure you're. Yeah. I'm just gonna leave it at that.
Yeah. I'm just fine. I'm just fine. It's mm-hmm. a peaceful environment. I'm okay.
I have a 15-year-old son. I'm very. Very well versed in microaggressions.
Okay, all right. I don't have to deal with that.
No.
You have my sympathy.
He's yeah. not that bad for a 15-year-old. He can't help it.
That's right. Yeah.
They're just made that way.
They are. Yep. And so we're going to be at Sassy Jack's. Let's see.
Soon.
A week from now, right?
Yeah.
Yes, a week from now, Thursday and Friday, we're going to be at Sassy Jack's for the Nicola Parkman thing, and just to hang out there, and going to do live podcasts Thursday and Friday is the plan, in addition to some other videos, and we'll just see what happens. But definitely going to do two live podcasts Thursday mm-hmm. and Friday. So watch for that. We'll do them. If some people noticed, it was... I did the other night. I realized that we needed to at least know that we could do it. And so I fired up the Facebook and my phone and mounted it on my stand and did one experiment of a stitch with me that was kind of a mess. And so then I ended that one and then spent a half hour getting serious and got things mounted right. And tried, and I'm where we're at in St. Louis, the internet speed is barely adequate, so the pictures are a little pixelated. I'm anxious to try it at home. But anyway, so I put up a second one, and I was doing it at night, and I didn't think, you know, purposely so that we wouldn't have too many people watching. But anyway, a lot of people seemed to enjoy it, hearing me ramble about whatever while I stitched. And, Thanks, folks. Really, it was just an experiment. But so we're that at least proved the point that we're going to be able to easily do live Facebook podcasts from Sassy Jack's. So looking forward to that. And now I actually had some fun doing that Stitch With Me thing. And I was doing, of course, the worst possible thing for a Stitch With Me, because I was doing a portion of the Anasazi song where you have to turn the thing back and over and back and over. And so that was just a mess, visually a mess. But, oh, and I got that part done. That part I got done. So now I'm down to just there's some stuff that goes at either end, and then some edging along the way, and I'll be done with it. But, the tedious part's done, which I thought the last time. So that means the two things at the end will be also tedious, but I don't think so. It's not that much. So anyway, you can watch those if you want. And I actually had fun doing it, so I might do another one. Christine and I have a plan that we do Sarah Brazier together, simultaneous, like Stitch With Me. So
yeah, because we will actually be in the same place.
Right.
And I think the plan is, you know, eventually we will do these, you know, because we do the podcast, you're in Illinois and I'm in New York. So the idea is that eventually we'll be doing the Stitch With Me's with you in Illinois and me in New York. And I will just say that Garrett, well, as if people didn't know this already, you have years of experience on me as far as stitch technique. So your stitching is much more refined than mine. and also you care.
There's that. Yeah.
what I think is going to be funny. So when we do the Sassy Jacks, it's going to be fun because you and I have not seen each other in person in 2 years.
Yes. No, I was thinking about that. It has been two years. Yeah.
Right. And we've known each other for a long time, and we usually see each other at least a couple of times a year at trade shows and things like that. And this time it's been 2 years, which is a really long time. So just that itself is going to be pretty crazy. And it will be the first time that either of us has met each other's spouses in the entire time we've known each other.
Right.
And that the spouses have met each other. So all of these things will be happening. So we're going to behave ourselves stitching now. When we talk about the stitching that we do remotely, so when you're stitching in Illinois and I'm stitching here, I think that's going to be even more fun too, because we're each going to be in our own sort of stitchy places. So I'm looking forward to that as well. I think that's going to be fun. We just have to figure out sort of the tech part to get that done.
Right. Oh yeah, no, that'll be fun. But mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to Sassy Jack's, not just to be there and see Kim and Nicola, but all the things you listed, all that's happening in the same time frame. So that'll be fun. Yeah, and we'll both have Sarah Brazier with us. So
we will.
So because really people haven't seen much at all of what you're doing with it, and I haven't actually started mine. So
and mine, to be honest, you know, if I kept every stitch I had stitched on it, I'd probably be done already. But I keep, you know, stitching something and saying no, because I'm not stitching it according to the plan, right? My fabric is probably the best way to put it now is almost like a denim color. And I'm using blending filament from Krynek and mostly the colors that are prescribed, but usually I'm either lightening them or darkening them a little bit just to get them to lift from the fabric a little bit, because sometimes the colors that are the intended ones are just a little too close to the color of the fabric. So there's a lot of starting and stopping on my end. So it looks like I haven't gotten a whole lot done. But what I have gotten a whole lot of done is experimenting and saying, yep, that isn't how I'm going to do it. So,
well, I'm on a mission by the time we get down there to at least have one go around of stitches to make sure I have the outer edge done. That's my mission, so I can at least know that I have it framed properly and can go from there. But so we can do that. And then Nicola has a new sampler that Kim Young at Sassy Jack's commissioned, and she'll be talking about that and doing her classes, some class for 2 days, three sets. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, Tuesday. So three sets, I believe, all sold out now. The Thursday, Friday yeah. was not sold out, but I think it is now. And I was taking that personal because, like, we're going to be there, so, you know, nobody wanted to be there. But I don't think that had anything to do with it. But anyway, I think now all sold out. And but an interesting sampler that Nicola has that she is bringing. And we'll be able to see, and I really hope we'll be able to get with Nicola and do a tour, because I checked with her, or Kim, one or the other, and the original and the model will be at Sassy Jack's.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
You don't often see that.
No. So we'll be able to compare the two, which will be a lot of fun in its own right. Yeah. So, yeah, that's looking forward to that on several fronts. Plus, did I mention the chocolate shop across the street? Did I get that in?
You know, I actually looked on the Google Maps and saw, because there's a bakery too.
Yes. Yes, the bakery's in the building with Kim.
Yeah.
And you can go, there's a quilting store there too, three stores, and doors connecting them all, from what I understand. So you can go bakery, quilting, and Sassy Jack's.
So what you're saying is I should pack sweatpants.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just telling you, what's
that's
available.
That's what you're saying. That's all the ladies that are listening. That's what they're hearing. This is a sweatpants.
I'm just saying this is what's available in one building, and across the street there's a chocolate shop. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Take me literally on this one. That's all I'm saying.
Going to be sweatpants for 3 weeks.
There's a chocolate shop across the street. I don't know. Did I mention that? Dark chocolate with orange filling. I don't care after that.
My favorite, yeah.
Yeah, I just don't care after that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's going to be fun. Plus, I've never been to that part of the country. So we're driving down. I think you're driving too.
I am.
So, yeah, so it'll be fun to see, just see that part of the country. I've never been there.
Mm-hmm.
So been to the Carolinas, but it's always trade show stuff, which is airport to hotel to convention center to hotel to airport, so you never see anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Yep. So, look for all of that next Thursday, Friday, probably spill over to Saturday and Sunday. Not sure how that's all going to work out. But we'll have a plan by then, so we'll be fine.
I'm sure we'll have a plan.
Of course. And when I did that live video thing, I should have written down her name, but I didn't. The lady who said that I had the neatest back, stitching back, that she'd ever seen. Thank you. I take great pride in that, so thank you for noticing and mentioning.
Yes. This is what I mean.
It's a thing for me. I can't help it.
It is. It is.
Yep. Yep. Teresa Vinette, the kitten stitcher, who was with us 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, who knows, mentioned she was going to have a new zine out. And she released that on this past weekend. Of course, most people who are connected with her already know about it. And she said that her inbox was just flooded. But samplers yesterday and today. Issue 1, summer 2018. It's a quarterly thing she's doing on samplers. And it's a download, PDF download, $12 for the copy. And I think she did a whale of a job. I really enjoyed reading the thing. Two charts in there, one a sampler she did, and then another one from Paulette Stewart from Plum Street Samplers, and a little article about Paulette. And it's very nice. And I think the highlight, I enjoyed the articles. The highlight for me was the gallery of people showing the samplers that they'd completed. People had sent in pictures of themselves.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I really enjoyed that, but what really set it apart for me was it was a magazine that wasn't just filled with projects to do.
Yes.
I enjoyed that.
And it's tough to do, and there are magazines that are like that, I think. And some of them are interesting and some of them are not. Some of them I end up ripping out the projects that I like and then just kind of saving them in a binder. But to have things that are actually enjoyable to or compelling to read is pretty cool.
Yep. So, I you know, bravo, Teresa. I thought she did a whale of a job. And I'll put a link on the page for this podcast so you can go get your own copy. And this is a download that you can easily share with anyone. Please don't do that. Buy your own copy and make somebody else buy their own copy. You know, Teresa's put a lot of work into this thing, so let people hand her the $12 each rather than having one copy that you share with 20 people. Because if she doesn't make money at it, or at least doesn't cover the cost and the effort, like all the other things, it'll go away. So, yeah, do that. But definitely go. The Kitten Stitcher, kittenstitcher.com is her website, and you'll see it right up there at the top, a picture of the cover. And go see that. Go buy a copy. It's very well done. I think she did a whale of a job. Really nice. So bravo to her. And it's good to see, because there was that Sampler Quarterly magazine that died. Lack of advertising, lack of all the things that it takes to keep something like that going. And so there hasn't been a Sampler-oriented magazine or publication of any kind for some time. And so it's nice to have that back in the hobby. And, yeah, she just does a real nice job. She has a real nice approach to it. And, yeah, I really enjoyed it. So go get that. And there, what recipe for Grandma Carmen's honey cookies in there. The other thing, let's see. Oh, yes, this one was good. This one was good, as if the others weren't any good. But Trudy Downing. Now, I've wondered about this. Trudy Downing posted in Needlepoint Nation about a guy called the Sharpening Doc that she used for having her scissors sharpened. Because I have wondered about this, because, you know, it used to be back in the day to find somebody in the local town who would sharpen scissors was no big deal. Now it's a big deal. And especially like my $50 Dovo scissors, I don't want any guy with a whetstone taking it, you know, working on those things. I want somebody who knows what they're doing.
Right.
I mean, they don't need it right now, but, you know, eventually they're going to. So Trudy Downing used the Sharpening Doc, and she spoke very highly of him. And so I thought it was, not endorsing him. I haven't used him. Only know what Trudy said. But she says his price is very reasonable for the service. The return of scissors was faster than the speed of light. And the scissors turned out like new. For those of us who don't have a neighborhood sharpener, I highly recommend him. And you just send him email, thesharpeningdoc@centurylink.net.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, because it used to be that there's a truck that used to... Is that a thing, or is that just where I live?
No, I think that's a thing. Yeah, because
there used to be a truck that would drive around and just do that.
Knives, everything, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, there was a guy in a truck. Yep.
Right. It was the guy. Yeah. But now there's no guy. So I guess you would have to go to a place. And now I think it's part of it is just that it's that disposable culture that we have where people don't, and knives especially. And I'm as unpicky as I am about some things. There are certain things that I'm extraordinarily picky about, and knives is one of them, like kitchen cooking knives. And those I will sharpen myself because I probably should take them to a proper sharpening place, but I had a brother-in-law who was a chef and he taught me how to sharpen them. So my knives are like razor blades because I can't stand cooking with a dull knife.
Yeah.
And it's funny because my husband then has a knife block, which is one of those like self-sharpening every time you put the knife in.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, no.
No, not the same.
No. So when we moved in together, I said, you can have your knife block with your cute little knife. He's not listening. And I'm going to have my real knives that are actually sharpened. But he doesn't listen, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's a good skill to have. But that said, scissors is a different thing because, it's a lot easier to sharpen a blade that's flat than scissors. They're beveled, and that's a whole other skill set, and I wouldn't trust me to do that, certainly. So, I think that's really good if we know somebody that we can send scissors to. Yeah. Especially if you have a favorite pair.
Oh, yeah, you know? Yeah. You don't want to give them up, yeah, just because they got done. No,
you don't want to. And we shouldn't have to live in a culture, you know, where you have to throw away your scissors because they got dull. How nice would it be that you could actually keep something for a little while?
Right. Well, most, you know, and most of us have made an investment in good scissors for stitching. And, yeah, there's no way I'm throwing these away. You know, they're getting sharpened somehow. So.
No, my dressmaking scissors are the ginger scissors. Yep. And they're like an 8 or 10 inch blade. And those, I cut through 10 layers of twill at a time. And those I would absolutely have sharpened because I think they were Joanne's special. So I know I didn't pay full price for them, but they were astronomical. So they need to be sharp, and they need to be sharpened properly. So
yep. So there it is, the sharpening dock at docdoc@centurylink.net is our apparently our Trudy Downing was happy with him, and you know if Trudy's happy,
well that's all that matters.
There we have it. I don't know Trudy. Do you know Trudy?
No, I think we need to have a segment, though, called Recommendations from Trudy.
There. I'll write to her. Maybe she has other things.
We did talk a while back about another segment we were going to do, which was things that should be self-evident but aren't until you do something really dumb.
Right.
Can I add another thing?
Well, please do. It's your segment, so have at it.
Yeah, okay. So,
oh, here we go.
In the list of things that, so it seemed, this could also be called, this seemed like a good idea at the time. Here's the story, right? Because in when I tell it in context and you follow along, you're like, okay, this kind of makes sense. And then afterwards you look at it and you say, wow, that's really just, no, that doesn't make any sense at all. So, at the time, so I moved house fairly recently, and right around the time that I was packing, which was, you know, a several month long endeavor because of, you know, moving house is it's an ordeal. I had finished a Debbie Raleigh piece, and it's a square piece, and on the front of this, the chart, it gives the dimensions of the piece. Now, I have not done a needlepoint piece before. Or not since I was a child, right? So I have not done it as an adult with, you know, a fully functioning brain, as you will see. So,
okay.
So I thought, well, how nice would it be to have this nice and framed so that when we move in, I can just hang it and then, you know, that'll be great. So, but in the midst of packing and moving and all these things, I didn't have time to I wanted to frame it myself, because I was trying to save money because buying a house is expensive. So what I thought I would do, instead of taking it to a framer and saying, here, you do the thing, and then I will come and pick up a beautiful piece of art, and then I will hang it on my wall like most normal people, I, in my lack of wisdom and my infinite thriftiness, decided, no, what I'm going to do is I'm going to use this opportunity to learn a little bit about framing in the middle of moving house. And so I'll buy a frame and I'll buy the matting materials and stuff, and I'll, you know, learn how to, stretch the piece and lace it and do all those things. Because at the time we were talking to quite a few people who do that, and they were all very encouraging and, you know, you could definitely do this and this is great. So, okay, no problem. So I went ahead and ordered the framing and the mat and all those things and promptly packed them and forgot about it for a while until a few weeks ago when we finally found that box. And I said, oh, okay, I have the box and all the materials. Let me do this. So I had the piece rolled up, unrolled it. Everything is perfect. It looks great. So the next piece is to stretch it. So I wet it down. I stretched it on a piece of particle board that I had, and that went fairly well. It's not perfect by any stretch, if you will, but it worked, I guess. But I learned things from it. So that's, and we can talk about that another day. So then I go and I get the mats and the frame, and I'm like very excited that I can now, you know, cut this and wrap it around the core and lace it and everything. And I just want to lay the mat out on top of it and feel all proud. And I realize that the mat is not at all the right size for the piece. Because what I wanted was something that would fairly, like within a quarter of an inch, fit the needle point, which is a square. Now, the needle point is still a square, but the needle point is a little bit bigger than the mat hole that has been cut, which I cut to the specs of the chart, right?
Okay.
And as I'm sitting there, I'm sitting on the floor, and I've got this stretched piece of needle point, and I've got a mat sitting on top of it, and suddenly that dim light bulb goes on in your head that says, fabric doesn't always stretch the same amount.
Uh-huh.
So, mm-hmm. You probably shouldn't cut the mat until you stretch the piece.
Mm-hmm.
And then measure the piece and then cut the mat.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. See, things that seem self-evident after you do them.
Yes, yes.
So... Mm-hmm. Because I have it double matted, I can either do it really widely matted, which will look really dumb, or I can mat it over the piece, which will also look dumb. So I just have to go get another mat cut. But so stretch your piece first, and then get your mat cut.
The there end. We have it. That's quite yeah. a tip. That's quite a tip right there.
Yeah. It's really not. It's really something that kind of seems like that's something you would do. Because most people would just give it to somebody and tell them to frame it, right?
Right.
Or measure the piece instead of going by the chart. Right?
Well, yeah. See, that would be my approach was, regardless of what the chart said, to actually, yes, measure the piece.
Mm-hmm. And I guess what I did was I overestimated the reliability of a piece of needlepoint canvas. And that, I guess that... No, and that's really what my mistake was if this was fabric, I have more familiarity with that, and I wouldn't have thought in any stretch that fabric would have behaved the same way every single time. But for some reason in my head, canvas, 18 point canvas is 18 threads to an inch, so it's always going to be that. And it never occurred to me that when you stretch it, it might be a little off.
Yes. Could go the other way, you know, if your stitching style is really tight, could go the other way too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, right, until you spend money to make an error, you don't realize these things. So, there you have it.
Okay.
One of those things.
Entry number 2 in the new segment.
See, and these are the things I am doing wrong for everyone else's benefit.
Right. Now, I'm going to say to you that in this new segment, that was a step down from two glue-covered magnets smacking together. Because that's a high bar right there. That's a high bar.
I'm just saying that
you started out with the best possible.
That was funnier, I admit.
Yes.
That was definitely funnier.
And that provides a mental image that is just really special.
It is.
Because, well, actually, it's two mental images. It's the glue-covered magnets smacking together, but it's also the look on your face.
That 3 seconds afterwards.
It's the look on your face. Oh, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's got a double thing there. So it's very nice. It's very, very nice.
I'm happy I can provide these things. See, this is the thing. I'm not afraid to look stupid. Which is good, because I can provide that in spades.
Yes. Well, that one's the high bar. So
there you go. So Gary provides a high bar in the fact that the backs of his stitching are better than anyone else's. And my contribution is that I will do the dumb things that no one else will admit.
Okay.
Because I've got to contribute something. So right now, that's about all I got.
Okay, we'll take that. I don't think mine are better than anyone else's, but I do work to keep them clean. So, yes. I'm all sure.
Right. Well, I don't work at doing dumb things, but it seems like happen. That's what I have at the moment. So I'm going to go with it.
Hey, put it on your resume. It's a talent. Yeah.
If it saves someone else doing a dumb thing, then I have done good in the world.
Yes. Two pieces of magnet just smacking together covered with glue. That's just the best. That's just the best.
I'm going to mail them to you.
Oh, I'd be happy to have them. Really, I would.
Little memento.
Yeah. Put those on a little piece of wood on my desk. Yeah, I'd be happy to have them. Mm-hmm.
That should be like part of the Fiber Talk merch.
Yeah.
Two magnets glued together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty special.
Completely useless, but yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, fine. They're still magnets. They still work.
True. Glue covered or not, yes.
Well, the glue dries.
Hey, got to put in a plug for our good friend Arlene Cohen. She just did a video, some new designs, some really nice stuff. And she's done a couple of Instagram TV videos of her doing her bobbin lace. And she did some bobbin lace in this most recent one. Man, that fascinates me. I don't know that I want to dig in and try it because the price of entry is a little it's probably not
cheap. Yeah.
But wow, it's fun to watch that happen. It really is. And how she works those bobbins and just flips them and flops them and puts a pin in and then out comes out the backside is coming this lace. It's an amazing thing. So yeah. Subscribe to her. Arlie, just go to Face or YouTube.
FlossTube.
Yeah, YouTube, FlossTube, whatever. Just put in Arlene Cohen. She's, I think, the only one. Pops up. Subscribe to her because, if nothing else, watching her make lace with bobbins is fun. But yeah, some really nice designs. She's got some new ones going on her Etsy Works by ABC store. Yeah. Some really nice designs and some canvas ones, some needlepoint charted canvas that a couple of them are really nice. Yeah.
And growing quickly, it seems, too. So yeah. That's great.
Yeah, she's working pretty hard at it. It really seems to have an eye for it. It's a lot of fun. So Arlene Cohen. And then I forgot, many times have forgotten here, many weeks ago now, we mentioned about, I don't even know what the topic was, but anyway, it was finding needlework stores across the country. And probably a dozen people wrote to us and said that there is a Facebook group for that. And this question comes up all the time in just about every Facebook group. I'm going to be in so-and-so town. Are there any needlework stores? Comes up all the time. And this Stitching Road Trip is the Facebook group. Gene Farish, who was a guest many weeks ago.
Yeah.
Stitching Road Trip Facebook group. I'll put a link. But that is the resource. There's a map there of needlework stores all across the country. And then there's people post in there if they've been to a store, show pictures, talk about what they saw, and so on and so forth. And it's a place that encourages you, if you visit a store, to talk about it. So join that group.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, Stitching Road Trip. It's a Facebook group, Stitching Road Trip. Gene Farish does it. And yeah, it's fun. It was one of those where I started looking. I joined the group. Then I started looking. And then, 45 minutes later, I was still looking. So.
Well, and considering we both have considerable road trips ahead of us in the next 2 weeks,
right,
that might be useful.
Yep. So yeah, if you have that question, look there first. You might be amazed. Actually, you will be amazed. It's all there. We're going to run out of time here. I'll also, speaking of resources, now, the whole needlework community has Mary Corbett with one T, needle and thread. But in the needlepoint world, we often forget the Jane Wood Chili Hollow blog. That's what she actually calls it.
I've never heard that.
Yeah. Yeah, the rest of it she made up. Those big long ones she just makes up. But somewhere along the way, it came up in the past couple of weeks about her Stitch guide writer section. And it came up in the context of a list of Stitch Guide writers. So I went there to see what she had. Well, it's much more than that. It's a whole thing about Stitch Guides, how they work, what to look for, who does them, how to get in touch with people who do them. It's a real tremendous resource for painted canvas needle pointers at the Chili Hollow blog, Jane Wood's Chili Hollow blog. I'll put a link, as with all the things. But, yeah, it's a real resource. And while you're there, go through the rest of that site. You'll be amazed at all the stuff she's assembled over the years, all kinds of resources and information and tips and tricks. And it's a really good one. That's one you want to keep on top of and subscribe to her. I think she's putting up just one post a week now, I think, is what she's at. Because she was posting from different people's blogs, and blogging people have kind of slowed down quite a bit. So she wasn't finding as much. But subscribe to her so you get her weekly posts. But then just go to that site. That's one of those sites where on the surface, you see a bunch of links, but you think there's not much there. And then you start digging, and you keep digging, and you keep digging, and there's more, and there's more, and there's more, and there's more, and it never ends. It's really a valuable resource, and especially if you're doing painted canvas or needlepoint in general, you want to have that on your list right at the top, Jane Wood's Chili Hollow blog. It's a good one. Yep. And a great lady, too. Really a great lady. Yep. So, yeah, check that out, especially if you're looking for stitch guides or just getting started with painted canvas. You definitely want to check that out. That's going to be it. Sunday, in a quick return, Gayann Rogers. Just 3 or 4 weeks ago we had her. Well, she is introducing this week her latest queen. She's calling it the last queen because it's the last one she plans to do, portrait. And if you have seen any of her previous ones, this one is equally, actually probably more impressive, I think. And
I would agree.
Yep. So we're going to talk to her about that design. But you know, people will go, oh, well, I'm not going to ever stitch that, so I'm not going to listen. Oh, listen. Because we're not going to just talk about the design and what she put together. We're going to talk about tips and how she made choices about colors and stitches and all the other things that go into that. That's going to be the bulk of the discussion. So purposely so that everybody can have some interest in this. But, wow, it's...
not to be missed.
Oh, boy, it's a beautiful thing. Wow, what talent. Oh, amazing to me. So that's Sunday, The Last Queen, with Gayann Rogers. First time, I think it is. First time we've ever focused solely on one design, I think.
Yes, I think that's probably true.
So it's going to be fun just to do something different. And then next week we'll have, we haven't talked about this. We may or may not have the Wednesday show, but we'll certainly have Thursday and Friday live from the Sassy Jacks and some other videos. And next week's going to be packed with stuff, basically.
It's stuff. Next week is stuff.
Stuff, yeah. That's it. We're done.
Okay.
Thanks for listening. Christine, Gayann Rogers Sunday, and then stuff next week.
Once again, the professionalism is just outstanding.
Thank you so much. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye.